Josiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Josiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 17, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice now. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Excuse me, folks, I'm just pulling up a call note here real quick. Anyway, remember, okay, I already did that. I'm sorry. Anyway, let's thank our listener bases worldwide in places like Uganda, Kampala, Uganda, Bangkok, Thailand, Prague, Czech Republic, Antwerp, Belgium, Vancouver, Canada, and of course cities in the good old USA such as Raleigh, New York, or North Carolina. I guess they get upset if I call them New York. Okay, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Sorry, folks. Anyway, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Corpus Christi, Texas, Las Vegas, Nevada, Phoenix, Arizona. These are just to name a few. And, of course, Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners, at least to our radio programs, when they go to our podcast later on tonight. Now, folks, if you wonder why I was kind of messing around a little bit there, was making an arrangement because the man that we were supposed to have on, Missile Man, isn't here. So we're going to go on and do our second program tonight, and we'll see if we can figure it out by 7 o'clock. Anyway, tune in. We will have a good program at 7 p.m. Central tonight. Hopefully, Missile Man. Anyway, now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest and get on with our program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, I pray. I pray that radio tonight, Father, goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight in your son Yeshua's, HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, folks, I really feel I've done a disservice to you. For you see, next week there is a solar eclipse, and it happens with the path over the United States of America. But nothing in the heavens just happens, as our Creator made the sun, the moon, and stars for signs. Many people have placed many warnings about this as a big event. But over and over since I have been in the ministry, people have sent me these things, and most have always been nothing. And I mean, I've been getting these since back in the early 90s. So without much prayer, I just discounted and ignored the whole thing. And for that, I really am clearly sorry, as there are some things out there for us to consider. Now, after this program, in between programs, you could just Google about the eclipse and you'll see all kinds of things. But it isn't what you'll read about the eclipse, but it's some of the events that are going on right now in these United States that have me saying, well, we need to be warning, period. This anyway. The path of the eclipse when it hits the United States. Also, at the same time, the Weather Channel says that a hurricane about the same time is going to be hitting the coast, and that actually the eclipse can help churn up the hurricane. I don't know. Then the fall feasts are coming, and most of you know that the fall feasts have to do with the return of Yeshua to this earth. And, of course, we are on the Father's calendar. This month, later on this month, his calendar month, is the month of I can't pronounce it. It's E-L-U-L, and it's typically the month called for repentance. Now, I have this short little thing from WorldNet Daily. We're going to bring a guest on tonight, and we're going to do some talking about some things. We have this short article from WorldNet Daily. For centuries, one particular day has signified repentance for God's people. It had deep meaning for Jonah, Moses, and Jesus Christ. This year, August 21st, is the first month of Eliul on the biblical calendar, which contains a critical message for American Christians, as it will be the date of a total solar eclipse that will traverse the entire United States. A coincidence? Not likely, contended Pastor Mark Belch, who's been on this program many times, but this he was talking on the Jim Banker Show. We're about to enter the month of Eliul. Blitz said, and it just so happens that this month was the month of repentance. It was on Eliul 1 that Jonah left for 40 days to tell Nineveh to repent. It was on Eliul 1 that Moses went up to Mount Sinai after the sin of the golden calf, trying to make atonement while Israel was repenting for that. It was on 1, Yeshua went up to the wilderness for 40 days, coming out on Yom Kippur. Eliul 1 starts the month of repentance, and to have the solar eclipse happening at this time is full of huge significance, Mark says. The discoverer of the blood moons phenomena, Mark said, the author of this new book, God's Daytimer, said he believes the solar eclipse falling on the first day of the month of repentance has meaning for believers. He says, I believe this is a warning. We need to take this lead. As believers, God the Father, is telling us he starts with us, and we need to repent. As a church, we have 40 days to really repent, just like Abraham. When he was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, trying to find 10 righteous men among them. Mark says, I don't know how many righteous men are needed for America. Neither do I. According to Jewish traditions, Belch explained, because Gentiles, here's the kicker, because Gentiles go by the sun for their calendar, a solar eclipse represents judgment coming upon a non-Jewish nation, whereas a lunar eclipse, because Jews use a lunar calendar, represents judgment coming upon Israel. That really makes sense. And one of the best-known solar eclipses in history had a terrible message for the West. One thing I will mention, most people don't mention now, World War I started on August of 1914, and there was a total solar eclipse over Eastern Europe and the Ottoman Empire. And what happens, Belch says, you have a total solar eclipse, the beginning of World War I, and the Ottoman Empire is destroyed. It even went over Nineveh at the same time the day of the eclipse, the same time on the upcoming one. Belch explained, God often prepares the ground before judgment and the opportunity for repentance. Most people don't even know the story of Jonah except from the Bible. God was preparing the ground before Jonah went. Do you know there was even a plague during that time before Jonah got there? This was found on cuneiform tablets talking about Syrian history, and there was a major plague 3 years before Jonah came. That was followed by a civil war. Maybe they were blaming each other for the plague in Nineveh. That the following was by another plague, and NASA records this. One of the most famous eclipses in all history, called the Burr-Siegel Eclipse, it happened, this total eclipse over Nineveh, a month before Jonah came. Jonah comes and he says, repent. Well, that's why they were so willing to repent. They've already suffered from a major plague, a civil war, another plague, a total war, eclipse over Nineveh. Now, obviously, they didn't receive judgment because they repented. It didn't happen for a while. I never set dates or anything. But what I do say is I look at events that happens on God's calendar, so you know that if it's God who is speaking or not, and hopefully we will repent and judgment is stayed. Now, you can read this whole article entitled Stunner, Eclipse Aligns with a Biblical Day of Repentance. Google it or go to my website, prophecyhour.com. Now, listen, this is critical. You go to my website, prophecyhour.com, and using the link on the right side of the hand that has a guy praying, it says the pastor. You click on that link, and this link will be my link where I talk when, like now, I'm telling you there's a couple of articles. I'll put them over there. If I have something to say about radio programs or other things, go to the pastor. That way you're not in that news feed, and it won't take you so long to find them. So check out the pastor. Anyway, so now, have I changed my mind about the eclipse? Yes, I have changed my mind. I do believe that it is indeed a warning for America to repent. It's indeed a warning when you look out across this United States and you see all the lying, the people, it's just horrific, especially what we've seen in Charlottesville and the evil behind it. Now, we're finding out a lot of new facts about Charlottesville, and maybe we're hearing and reading some strange things, like the mayor admitting that this march was planned for a year, and he intentionally ordered the police to stand down. Information has arrived from many sources, like the organizer of the violent rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, was until recently a Barack Obama supporter and was also a member of the leftist radical Occupy Wall Street movement, according to a report from the hard-left activist group. Now, that came from their own group. The details from his recent past have many in the blogosphere and on social media asking, is this Charlottesville rally organizer really a left-wing plant? John Klessler organized the August 12th Unite the Right rally, in which white nationalists, neo-Nazis, and other groups battled in the street with AFTA and counter-protests. And we also have this from your newswire, and then we're going to bring on our guests. Fox News reporter Doug McKillaway was on the scene in Charlottesville, and he backs up the police officer's claims. I can say, having been in Emancipation Park from early on that morning, what I saw with my own two eyes confirmed that law enforcement told us, at least from all visible appearances. We saw people coming out of that park who had head wounds, who were bleeding from the head, people walking into that park with bats and sticks. You saw what they were wearing, helmets, body armor. They had come, and this pertains to both sides, they had come to do damage. You cannot help but notice that from the video that the police have been more than proactive, that they could have potentially calmed this thing down to some degree. Police were called to stand back. Anyway, Margaret Singer is a Virginia Democrat activist with close ties to Barack Obama and John Podesta. Before landing the Charlottesville mayor job, he previously worked closely with Podesta at the Center of American Progress and worked with him again on Barack Obama's State Department transition team. The New World Order, led in the United States by elite operatives, Obama, Podesta, Soros, Clinton and company, are pulling out all stops to create division through chaos and destruction. Crowds of paid protesters and useful psychopaths are being sent into pitched battle against one another to sour the mood of the nation and divide us all. And I throw in to get rid of President Trump. We are now manipulating and controlling newsworthy events in order to maintain power and control over the public and to swing public opinion. Deep state operatives. The man accused of being a neo-Nazi and murdering a woman by deliberately driving her during protests in Charlottesville, in reality, a supporter of Hillary Clinton and a member of Antifa in receipt of funding George Soros. White supremacist Unite the Right leader Jason Kessler has been exposed as a supporter of former President Obama and a hardline member of the far-left Occupy movement. When did he change his political learning? According to Southern Poverty Law Center, an organization that is certainly no friend to conservatives, Kessler revealed his political transformation around November 2016, the same month Donald Trump won the presidential election. If you think that is suspicious, wait until you learn about the other actors in this enormous setup event. The first man on the scene, well, let's now bring in tonight. Let's bring back on with us the founder of American Voice Radio, Frank Stephan, who did call it last radio program and said there was a possibility that North Korea thing could be a deception. Well, you know what? It was kind of funny. A couple of days after the program, North Korea stood down. Now, I don't know if it was a deception or not, but it sure turned out to be a big nothing. Anyway, Frank does his own program on American Voice Radio called The Frank Report. And now, Frank, after my long lead-in, are you there with me?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. I'm awake. Yeah.
Okay.
Just kidding, Dan. It was very interesting. Although I do disagree with you. You know, I mean, you look, there's a lot of warnings. You know, I think every day, everything should be considered a warning to America to repent because, you know, we're so far in the hole that, you know, we got real troubles. But I don't think this eclipse is, you know, we got Y2K going on again. That's the whole thing. And there's always going to be somebody out there wanting to push a book or push something or, you know, that this is the end of the world. Listen to me. Buy my book, you know, and get my DVD. And,
right.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. You know, I'm not doing it. I mean, I find the eclipse.
Actually, wait a minute. You sound like me about 2 days ago. That was my total reaction to most of all this because, you know, I interview people that do books, and I have seen so much of this stuff since the 90s, and I usually just blow it off. But my real point is I can't absolutely say it's a warning to repent, but I feel in my heart so deeply after watching Charlottesville and everything that it is a time this nation needs to repent.
Oh.
And people that are supposed to be believers need to stand up and be counted instead of sitting down. And so that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, yeah, and I do agree with you to that point that, you know, this nation needs to repent. And you know what? It may be a warning. Everything could be a warning. These lunatics could be a warning. You know, God uses bad people to make good people repent sometimes.
Yeah, that's consistent all the way through the Bible, and that's things that a lot of people don't understand about the Word of God. They think God just, you know, blinks his eyes and everything happens.
Well,
when he wants to punish, when he wants to punish a nation, he uses another nation. When he wants to bring you money, I can't tell you how many times through the Old Testament Israel got rich because he gave it to him, the money from the pagans or the cattle and so on and so forth. So he uses other people and other nations. Back to you.
Well, yeah, and how would people be able to recognize it, seeing as how most, and I'm not even talking about the lost, okay? I'm talking about the people that walk around saying, you know, and I'm not saying they're not Christian, and I'm not saying they're not saved, because that's not for me to decide, but most of them have never read their Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's just a fact. It doesn't matter if they're saved or not saved or what they believe or they don't believe. They've never read their Bible. Oh,
yeah.
I opened it up and I read a verse. Yeah, that's not what I mean. I mean, cover to cover. You know, you don't open up Stephen King's The Shining and read one page and say, yeah, I read The Shining. You don't say that, do you? Nobody says that. You know, you got to read it from the first page to the last page. Then you get to say, I read it. But most people have
right.
not read it. I've met pastors that have never read the Bible all the way through, for crying out loud. And that's
yeah,
a shame. That's a shame right there.
Well, you know, actually, many years ago, I investigated. Actually, I'm ordained by several different churches across this nation or whatever, but not, to me, that means nothing. But one of the courses that I looked up to do that, you know, to be a modern-day New Testament preacher, all you had to do was do a New Testament study and, you know, do some Greek and stuff, but it was nothing Old Testament. There was no requirement to read the Old Testament at all, and I don't see how possibly you can even begin to understand a New Testament unless you read the Old back to you.
Well, you know, it goes along with the how do you read anything if you don't know what any of the words mean? You know,
right.
I mean, that's like, look, regardless of your, you know, whether you're a New Testament church, so-called, you know, and I know the I've been around all these people myself, and I didn't know any better when I was younger, but then I learned that, so you're just saying what? Rip out this whole part and throw it away, it doesn't matter? What about the Ten Commandments? Oh, yeah, well, they matter. Oh, so who decides? So who you're deciding what parts? Now, oh, we'll tear this page out, but not that page. No, I'm sorry. The Bible's the Bible. It works together. Now, whether the, you know, and I realize times change and different books are written to different people. This is written to
right.
the people. This is written to the church. This is written to the Jews. I get that. But the bottom line, just because something may not apply to you, like the dietary laws, okay, you're not going to hell because you eat pork, all
right? Right.
But you should know about it. you know, if you're going to read the rest of the Bible, the New Testament, you got to read the Old Testament. I mean, look, if you're going to, okay, look, Revelation is in the New Testament, and if you're going to read that book, you had better had read Daniel and Isaiah and a bunch of Old Testament books, or else
right.
you're not going to get any of it. It's going to be some weird, like, hallucinogenic story to you or something, you know? You gotta have some basis to understand what you're reading, and that's, you know, fine if that's all the New Old Testament is to the New Testament church, but that is, you know, it's still necessary. You can't just throw it in a can and say, well, you know, hey, we're a New Testament church and that's all that matters. That may be where your focus is, but it all matters.
Okay, well, look, we're gonna have to go to break because our producer kind of gets mad when we don't go to station break. So, folks, check out the Frank Report on AmericanVoiceRadio.com and everything else they got over there. Or it's American Voice TV. Is that what it is?
ABRN.TV.
ABRN.TV.
Nice and short.
Okay, just like the commercial. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Oops, excuse me. First up, I'm still sounding a little bit different, and that's because we haven't got the office in order yet after the storm. Folks, in the summertime, let's just get it cut to the chase. In the summertime, donations go down because listing audience goes down in the summertime. As soon as school starts back up, those people seem to come back, and the donations seem to go back up, usually by about September 1st. For the record, here where I live at in the Flint Hills, school started back today. So I'm thankful for that, although I don't want to, I will miss summer going. In fact, it was a summer that I just blinked my eyes, and I assumed that it's over with. But anyway, so pray about it. We really do need to get this straightened out. And if you want to help out and you don't want to make a donation for radio and you think, well, what do you need? Well, if you email me or something, we can work it out. If you want to buy a piece of equipment, I can send you the address or, you know, email where you can, the link, that's what I'm looking for, link to where you could just go online and buy it and just have it shipped directly to us, or you can make a donation for radio. But we really do need your help, because I know a lot of you folks have been listening to me for a very, very long time. I know if you don't have the money to, you know, send like $1,000, because we look like we still need around $2,000 to make things work properly, and that'll be ongoing. That'll even make it to where we could do our video. But anyway, the point is that any kind of donation will help, small or large, you know. So send it in. Pray about it. And we're looking for supporters for radio airtime. You know, in fact, I'm here to tell you, maybe you've got like a minute or two you would want me to mention you on the program, you know, a sponsorship, consider that. Because we do get out clear across the world. You know, support us, though, so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. People, men, women, children from all walks of life come to us for all kinds of help. Some people come to us from even other cities for prayers. So consider it. We don't get any help from any organized churches in Wichita or government agencies, and I want to scratch that about the government agencies, because I don't know. There was a government agency, the Emergency Management something or other, that called us that wants to donate some Band-Aids. and some self-care bags for the these little bags that they put soap and all these different hygiene items in them. They want to give us about 30 of these bags to distribute. Now, I'm skeptical of it, but we'll find out or whatever. I think they just want to come out and nose around. I don't care. I got nothing to hide. But normally, we don't get any help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only people like you that's helped us. Now we're in our 18th year that make the mission church work. Can you imagine that? 18 years. You folks have been supporting it for 18 years. We sell nothing. Yes, we minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even drive through after dark. In fact, now, as I've said before, the city of Wichita just started doubling the patrols right in our area. In fact, when they talked about us on TV, they said the South Broadway corridor. Well, that South Broadway corridor, we're right at the heart of it, right at the beginning of it. Anyway, I'm sorry, I just laugh about it because, you know, the South Broadway corridor, we're one of the most notorious places in town, but wasn't that where Yeshua was at? I mean, did he go preach to the synagogues? I mean, why did he preach to the people? But he was among the sinners and among the poor. Isn't that where we should be at? Right now, we're in what most ministries call a summer slump. We need help now, really, to buy food and pay the mission church bills. You know, for dinner the other day, my wife did over 80 plates at dinner time, and I have no idea. That's at the 4:30 meal. That wasn't even every day. We do anywhere from 8 to 15 dozen egg sandwiches. Think about that. And think how many eggs we go through. Anyway, so we need your help to stay open. So pray about it. Men, women, and even children. So why do so many people come to us? Well, why do you think? You know, we don't sign them in. We don't do all those things. We give them love. We give them a relationship. People are treated as family. And beyond that, we really have no set guidelines or like programs. People walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. When we have a way to fill the need, we give it to them right there. If we don't, we pray it in, or we look for other resources. This is why the agencies tell their employees about the Potter's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are, folks, the last hope for so many, and we're responsible to care one for another as we are our brother keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Remember, if you don't want to donate to the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime or to get this office in order. And pray about it. If you send us a donation for airtime or so radio, make sure you say it's for radio. Anyway, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And if you don't wish to help the poor, consider a donation again for radio airtime. And now we're back, and see what Frank has to say about what's going on in Charlottesville and across this nation. Are you there with me, Frank?
I am. And I think you covered it pretty well there with a lot of the things you said. You know, there's a lot of, look, you've got to look at everything that goes on and say, okay, does this make sense? You know, this is called critical thinking. And this is something that the public schools have taken decades to try to wash out of people's education, is critical thinking. Critical thinking is not something, it's not just the facts. It's how to deal with facts. Okay, here's the facts. You know, I mean, this is what we see. This is what we're being told. And I'm not going to delineate true facts from false facts. You got to take them all as facts. Okay, they're all, okay, here's all the information. Let's not even call it facts. All the information. You take all the information and you start thinking, okay, what fits together? What clashes? Because if facts clash, one of them's not a fact. One of them's a lie. Okay, that's the way it works. Because truth and lies do not work together. Dark and light do not go together. Evil and good do not go together. This is the way it is. So when you're analyzing something, and you take all the information, and you can say, okay, I'm going to consider all of it facts. Everything's equal as it comes in. Then you go, all right, well, let's see this, you know, the narrative here, and they go, okay, well, that clashes with this. that clashes with this, this clashes with that. And then you go and say, okay, well, let's take all the things that clash and put them over here, and do they all work together? And then you take the things that are lies and you go, okay, let's put all those together over here, or the things that don't clash, and, you know, you say, okay, do they go together? Then you got to look at it and say, okay, which one, you know, which one looks like a more factual, based on the evidence that I have, scenario? And you're not always going to get it right. You know, we get fooled from time to time, but that's what you've got to go through, that process. That's critical thinking. Now, when you take a thing like Charlottesville, you go, okay, what are the facts? Well, there was a rally, there was violence, somebody got run over by a car. Okay, that's all true. That all happened. But, you know, all right, let's start looking at the facts. Let's look at the car for one thing, the guy in the car. Okay, he's a 20-year-old kid from Ohio in a brand-new Dodge Charger at a rally in Virginia. Is there anything about that that is questionable to you?
Absolutely. What was that kid doing coming clear? I mean, that's a long way from home.
And he's unemployed. Let's not leave that out. But he's got a brand new Charger.
Right.
You know how much one of those costs?
Wow.
They're about $40,000. How's this work? You know, okay, so it doesn't prove anything, though. That doesn't prove anything. It's just a questionable thing. It's just something need to go, well, now, wait a minute. I'm going to need more information on that. Oh, okay, then we have, well, the city of Charlottesville. They issued a permit for the so-called, white nationalists to have a rally. All right.
Right.
Then, a week before the rally, the city revoked the permit. Then the white nationalists went to court, and the court ruled that, no, you can't just revoke their permit. You know, they paid their money, they jumped through the hoops, you approved it, now you're stuck, you know, that's it. It goes. So when they show up to attend their permitted rally, the city of Charlottesville, the mayor there, declares their rally an unlawful assembly and closes the park. So they have to leave the park. And now here come Antifa. How did they get there? The police led them there. Okay? The police escorted the Antifa protesters to the park where the white nationalists were. See, this isn't getting out in the mainstream news. And once they got them to the park, then the police got the stand-down order from the mayor. And violence ensued.
Right.
And then the kid in the car is surrounded by a mob who's beating his car with baseball bats and throwing things at it. So he speeds off, runs over some people. Now, you know, and I don't know. I don't know because this kid is suspicious to begin with. What's a 20-year-old from Ohio doing in a brand new Charger, unemployed in Virginia, to go to a rally?
Right.
It wasn't that big of a rally, Dan.
No,
there's only a couple of hundred white supremacists there. Okay,
right.
You're going to drive to Ohio, from Ohio to Virginia, so you can be, what, protesting 200 people?
Right, but let's back up a second. You know, everybody calls, I like what Trump said, you know, in the first place, because what his first statement was, and backing up his first statement, says what you're saying right now. You need to get all the information before you make a statement that just signals him one opinion. You know what I mean? And so that's what you're saying. Let it play out. Investigate it a little bit. So going back to that, Trump said, and other news media, not much, has said that, you know, there were other people besides the white supremacists that were protesting not to remove this. Now, this was a protest to because people wanted to remove the Robert E. Lee statue. And so they were protesting that action. So, but there were supposed to be other people there than the white supremacist. Was there not on the right?
Oh, I suspect there probably were. Whoever, you know, didn't want their history erased was probably, you know, there too. But the fact of the matter is, there are four if you want to split them, but it's really three players. You got the white supremacists, or white nationalists, I think. And then you've got the Antifa Black Lives Matter group. Then you've got the city of Charlottesville. Now, you can either split that between the mayor and the police department and call it two or just one, because I call it one because it doesn't matter. You know, they obviously were acting on the mayor's orders, so we'll just count it as one, because obviously the police in Charlottesville have no autonomy of their own. They take their orders from the mayor, apparently, not the police chief. But so we have these three groups. Now, let's see, what did everybody do? Okay, so the white nationalists are white nationalists, and they are offensive to some people. Okay.
Right.
But you can say that about any group. You know, hey, a Jewish group, a rabbi's meeting would be offensive to some people. You know, a black group is offensive to some people. There's always somebody's going to be offended by somebody else. So, okay, the white nationalists are there, and what did they do? They went through the process. They got and paid for their permit. Okay, they were now revoked. They went to court. They went through the court process. They got it reinstated. Okay, so they show up at a rally that was permitted, revoked, and then court ordered to proceed, and they showed up to it. That's what they did. Now, what did Antifa do? They showed up with masks on, no permit, baseball bats. And there was even a guy running around with a hairspray and a lighter, using it as a flamethrower.
Let's not forget, they had was either pop cans or water bottles that were filled up with cement that they brought to throw at the other side. Back to you.
Yeah, that too. And they came in, they had body armor and helmets and everything else. This is how they showed up. Then we have the city of Charlottesville, who granted a permit, revoked a permit, and then declared a court-ordered rally and deemed it an unlawful assembly. Then, not only that, the police force of Charlottesville led Antifa and Black Lives Matter protesting thugs to the park, and when they got there, stood down and did not protect the peace.
Right.
So,
right.
Who's the guilty party here in this, under those scenarios? And those are the facts, folks. I'm not even going to, you know, I'm not going into the whole my idea of the kid's a paid shill, you know, and Kessler's a paid shill from the Democrat Occupy movement, a good friend of Obama. You know, I'm not even getting into any of that. What I just said was all just the facts of what happened. Who's the guilty party here? Who are the parties that did not obey the law, who did come ready for violence? Who was the parties who did that?
Well, that's an easy thing just to see without even looking into the thing, the other things we're talking about, that, you know, like Obama supporter and that takes a little bit more to look up and to be sure about. But just on the face of it, it sure looks like the city was the one responsible and the other side. But let's look at this for a second, Frank. I looked into the fact that over the court battle over the permit, and the city wanted them moved in the first place. And during this, you know, thing, they didn't necessarily want to cancel it. They just wanted to cancel their permit in the park. They wanted to move them anyway. So they did what they wanted anyway, contrary to what the judge said. No, you have to have it in the park. They weren't allowed to have it in the park. They took them directed them to a place where they could be ambushed. okay, looks like they led the ambush. And we do have an admission by the mayor that this, that the rally had been planned. They knew full well over this, this incident for a year. So, you know, this looks like it's all what? To embarrass Donald Trump, our president. You think?
Well, yeah.
Or what other reason? I mean, still to split the country is the same thing, but, you know, still boiled
down to the
same thing.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, Trump's not going
to
get any good out of this, you know, although he may. You know, he's shown himself to be fairly resilient.
Right.
But the thing is, this goes far beyond Donald Trump.
Right.
This is an assault on the American way of life and our American culture. This is a direct assault of the worldwide communist revolution. They call themselves Democrats in this country. But that's what it is. It is that. Because, and why are they doing this now? Because they recognize, they're in a panic, that they don't have a message, and America knows it. Okay? All they've got is the same tired, old, failed policies. And we recognize their failed policies because we're in the mud and everybody understands that. We know there's no recovery. We know there's no, oh yeah, unemployment's 4%. Oh, sure it is. Yeah, go tell somebody that who's, are you kidding me? You know, and oh, inflation's only 3%. Really? I guess that's for people who don't pay bills or something, because everything's gone up way more than 3% in the last year. You know, so we know what's going on, and they know.
I'm in total agreement with you, and they are trying, and they're unceasable. These people are funded by people like George Soros that pay. We've proved that, and it's common knowledge. I hope it's common knowledge to most people that Soros has paid most of these people for to be in these rallies, or rallies, riots, whatever you call them, going clear back to Ferguson, Missouri, that started the riots, protested against Soros because they didn't get their $5,000 checks quick enough. So we do know that as a fact that he is funding them, and they're busing, they bust them in. We found that out. They bust them in around the country, different cities during the election. They even found street over a ways from the protest. They found rows of large buses, brand new buses with blacked out windows where they had brought them in.
Yep.
Point is you're right. They're trying to burn the country down. They're trying to get rid of President Trump. And I think, don't you agree a little bit with this, maybe, that both sides, even some of the so-called Republicans, are trying to get rid of him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I've said this for years that, look, our country right now, our political setup, look, I can't reiterate this enough, and I sound like a broken record, and I'm always I try to make sure to say it completely. The communist worldwide revolution. Go look it up, folks. You will see that all the tactics that they are using right now are the same tactics they developed in 1917. Okay? And they've been using them all around the world. You can find numerous examples of exactly what's going on right now in this country. And the first thing they do, now you gotta understand, the communist revolution in the Soviet Union, in Russia, the communists had two factions. Okay? They were both communists. They had Trotsky and Lenin. Now, they had different ideas of the worldwide communist revolution. They both believed in a worldwide communist revolution. But Trotsky wanted an armed, you know, takeover. You march into countries and you take over by force and you instill a communist government, right?
Right.
Well,
right.
Lenin was more, no, we infiltrate the existing governments with our operatives and turn them communist. Well, we know who won because Trotsky got killed, and look around. You know, and this is the real problem. The real problem is not the Democrats, because we know who they are and what they're about. It's
right.
The Republicans that are really Democrats, like Paul Rhino.
Yeah.
Okay? Mitch McConnell. John McCain, Susan Collins, Jeff Flake, all these
right.
people, and there's many more, they are Democrats. They are operatives of the worldwide communist revolution. They have infiltrated the Republican Party, and they are destroying it from the inside.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly believe that. You can tell. That's the real reason that nothing has got, like the health care bill got rid of or whatever. That's the real reason why nothing's getting done in Congress, because the guys at the top, for sure, I won't say every congressman, but the longtime people over there, were call them rhinos, whatever you want to call them, communists is probably the best word, but those guys are sabotaging it. They don't want Trump to succeed in any way because they're globalists themselves.
Right.
Otherwise, they would have had a health care bill ready and everything ready to go.
Well, and globalism is just another name. It's just like they do. You know, La Raza changed their name. They're not. Right. There is no more La Raza anymore. Blackwater changed their name. Well, the Worldwide Communist Revolution changed their name, too. Okay? It's globalism. It's the New World Order. It's the One World Government. It's the Deep State. It's all these different names, but it's the same thing. And people need to understand, listen, you want to blame somebody for nothing getting done? Don't blame the Democrats. This is not, look, they're plenty to blame for, okay? But this ain't one of them, because they don't have a majority. They can't stop anything. If the Republicans got together and said, we're doing this, they're doing it. But you see, it's the Democrats within the Republican Party that keep that from happening.
Right, right.
And they need to go. And coming up in 2018, you folks out there that are politically active need to get politically active in the primaries, in the Republican Party, and replace these people with real Republicans.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good time. We're going to have him back on the air. Michael Snyder, which you all know, wrote books about the rapture and all those different things not being true. He is running for Congress in his state. And so, amen. Well, Frank, we ran out of time.
Right.
I'm going to have to let you go. Folks, the Frank Report, when are you on?
8 p.m. tonight and 2 p.m. every day. Oh, well, 8 p.m. every night and, you know, except Fridays, and 2 p.m. every day.
Right. All right. Well, tune in and listen, folks. All right. Thanks for being on. Folks, that's AVRN TV or AmericanVoiceRadio.com. Go to it and check it out. Listen to the Frank Report. Folks, we are in a dire place in this country. We need people. People need to stand up. You're not supposed to let evil go on. You know, these armchair Christians that think that you're supposed to just sit down and do nothing and that Yeshua will do it all. Well, Yeshua uses people. The Father uses people. That's what happens. You are supposed to stand up against evil. Otherwise, we just couldn't exist. So pray about it. We must remember, though, there is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave your life for your repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. No other religion, no other anything will get you there but Yeshua, okay? Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church today or whenever you hear this program. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.